بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Felicitations and congratulations on the auspicious occasion of the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. This was a day of celebration and we commemorate it, but why? And what are the practical lessons of the 22nd of Bahman that are very important for me, for you, and for all lovers of freedom, for all lovers of perfection? On the 22nd of Bahman, 41 years ago, what happened was that a medium was actualized through which a nation could now attain to their potential. A medium through which a nation could express their freedom, but freedom in attaining to their objectives, freedom to attain to salvation, freedom to be Khalifatullah, to succeed in Allah's attributes. This is what freedom means in Islam. Freedom according to Islam isn't the freedom to eat whatever you want. It doesn't mean the freedom to satiate your sexual appetite however you want. It doesn't mean the freedom to live wherever you want. And it doesn't mean the freedom to transact however you want. No. Freedom in Islam, which Allah wants from all lovers of freedom, means the freedom to attain to salvation. The freedom to incorporate the divine attributes of perfection. And this is what the 22nd of Bahman represents. And once it was actualized in Iran, then the process of exporting it began. To tell the world, to tell all those who are suppressed in their attaining and their attainment to perfection, to salvation, that look, you're suppressed. You have to do something about it. Don't be comfortable in that status quo. You're not free. You're a slave. And that's why Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi called it Yawmullah, a day of Allah. Day, Yawm, means manifestation. It's a manifestation of Allah's attributes, which have reached high levels. Wherever Allah's attributes pass and maximize to such a level where it was much higher than how it was in a previous generation, we call that a day of Allah. Allah's attributes are manifesting. Allah's justice is manifesting more. And other attributes of Allah have reached a new threshold. And furthermore, the people who have led to such a status quo are now free to attain to their divine objective, which is to attain to perfection. And this is what the 22nd of Bahman represents. And it's called Yawmullah. And this term has been extracted from a verse in the Holy Quran, where Allah says to one of the prophets, "An akhrij qawmaka min al-dhulumat ila nur wa dhakkirhum bi ayyamillah." Exit your people from the veils of darkness to the light and remind them of the days of Allah. The 22nd of Bahman symbolizes, represents the domination of light over darkness, the domination of faith over taghut, the domination of an Islamic guardianship over an anti-Allah, non-Islamic guardianship. And whatever form of guardianship makes a claim to replace Allah's guardianship, that we call a taghuti system. It's a system of tyranny, and we're not allowed to abide by it. Exit your people from the veils of darkness to the light and remind them of Ayyamillah, the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because who follows a taghuti system, who goes against Allah's guardianship. والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات. Those who disbelieve, and disbelievers can even include so-called ظاهري superficial Muslims, where the Islam hasn't entered their hearts yet. Those who disbelieve, their wali, their guardianship is at-taghut, is a tyrannical system where Allah's laws and regulations are replaced by something else. And they want to exit people from the light towards the veils of darkness. So something has to be done here. The 22nd of Bahman, what actualized over 40 years ago, was a day of Allah, where light overtook darkness, where an Islamic guardianship under a just mujtahid is now ruling. Yes, there may be many problems and the journey may be slow, but it's in the right direction. When you look at all the prophets that have come, the overruling and predominant slogan has been "An'budu Allah wajtanibu at-taghut." Submit to Allah, refrain from the taghuti system. What does that mean? It means you would never qualify as a true submitter to Allah if you haven't disassociated yourself from any given taghuti system. This is something which we have, and the Quran actually praises people who do refrain from such a taghuti system. وَالَّذِينَ اجْتَنَبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ أَن يَعْبُدُوهَا وَأَنَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Praising those who refrain and deny, reject the taghut, submitting to them, submitting to the non-Islamic guardianship. أَن يَعْبُدُوهَا. These people are praised in the Quran. Now we have to see that, what does this mean in practical terms? Because unfortunately we see people who actually and optionally and unreluctantly are adopting the taghuti system. In the Quran, very delicately, it warns us, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا. Don't you see those who make a claim and believe that they're believers? But further down, these very people, يُرِيدُونَ أَيَّتَهَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ. But they want to refer, in matters of legislation, to the taghuti system. They may say we're believers, but what they will, what they want, is that in matters of legislation, in matters of how to adopt a lifestyle under whatever guardianship, they refer to the taghut. وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. Whilst we commanded them to reject it, but they take it. Even if your elders, your forefathers, your fathers, your countrymen, your countrywomen, even if these people, even if it's through a democratic process, even if it's through a referendum, but these people of yours, even if they choose a system for you, which is of a taghuti nature, you're not allowed to take it. In another verse of the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Don't take your fathers, although آباء can mean your elders, your family and other members of community who have a supervising role, who have a nurturing role. Don't take your brothers, your countrymen, your countrywomen, don't take them as your wali. If what? In istahabbu al-kufra al-iman. If they prefer al-kufr, non-belief, disbelief, over iman. But al-kufr here is referring to a system of kufr. Look, you can be a believer, but you may prefer a system of non-Islamic guardianship. The Quran is saying, however they choose that legislature, however way they do it, through a democratic process, through a referendum, you're not allowed to take it. You're not allowed to place yourself under such a guardianship. Remove yourself, go away. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ. But those who do remain and submit amongst you to such a guardianship, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. You'll be a wrongdoer. You're going to be a wrongdoer. And you're going to be resurrected as a wrongdoer. These wrongdoers are resurrected in hell. And in the Quran, there's a dialogue between the angels and these wrongdoers. The angels say, قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. What's happened to you? Why are you like this? To the inmates of hell. قَالُوا, the inmates reply, كُنَّا مُسْتَدْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were amongst the suppressed on the land. We were amongst the suppressed. قَالُوا, then the reply came. This is a form of questions and answers between the inmates of hell and the angels, explicit in the Holy Quran. أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Isn't the earth spacious enough for you to migrate in it? We're not allowed to remain in a suppressed status quo. We have to do something. We can't just adopt for ourselves a taghuti system or comfortably live under and prefer to live under a tyrannical system where Allah's guardianship is replaced by other things. Living somewhere which forces education of a false nature over your children, how belittling that is. Are we allowed to do that? Or for example, living in a place where they're prohibiting women from wearing the hijab in the work environment or at school. Are we allowed to live in such an environment? Are we allowed to live in an environment where they get 40% of all your wealth and call it an inheritance tax, and God knows how they're going to spend that money? The taxes you pay, they have a defense budget, which your taxes are feeding, where it's contributing to the spillage of Muslim blood all around the world. Are we allowed to be comfortable here? Two questions arise. Some people say, but we're natives in these countries. We're not immigrants. It's not our fault we were here. We were born here. The question is, are you a Muslim or not? It doesn't matter whether you're a native or an immigrant. Do you want to practice Allah's word or not? The second question is that they say, but what if we really can't leave this place? Although, according to the logic of the Holy Quran, that will not stand in the hereafter because the earth is spacious enough. But even if this was a justified reason, you would have to compensate. And compensating is difficult. It's not going to be easy. If you're contributing to the foreign defense budget X amount, you would have to pay 2X amount, twice or thrice that much to true Islamic causes. If, for example, education is of a false nature, you would have to do something to correct that. You can't just sit there looking, waiting for your children to be gradually deviated from the true path and believe in things which go against the Quran, go against the teachings of the Holy Prophet. And then there are some who say, look, here in the West, we have to be an ambassador to Islam in the West. An ambassador to who? If you say to your neighbors, your non-Muslim neighbors or friends at the workplace, that's right. We have no problem. We have no problems with your countrymen, your countrywomen in the West. We have a problem with the system, the governments, and how they are forcing people, how the different infrastructures they have are crippling people spiritually. Look at the loan systems that they have. You may have a car, house and everything, but it's all through mortgages. It's all through loans. Now, even assuming this loan is of a halal nature, assuming this is the case, You miss one installment, you've lost the whole property. They've grasped everyone in shackles. It's modern day slavery, but in a very pretty and beautiful setting. You have to be careful here. Who do you want to be an ambassador to? If you say the normal people in that place, okay, that's through your actions. Be an ambassador through acting, good ethics, good actions, and so on and so forth. But what are you going to do with the government of that country? Do you want to be a good ambassador to Islam in relation to the tyrannical system there? Well, you have to shout out. You have to go against them. You can't be relaxed with them. You can't be comfortable with them. In one holy verse of the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. You who believe again, it's always addressing the believers. Don't take as your guardians my enemy, Allah's enemy, and your enemy. Don't do that. You're not allowed. Now, you're living in those countries and you can't, let's assume you can't leave, and you want to be an ambassador to Islam, well, this is the thing, you not to take them as your guardians. The verse continues, تُلْغُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, extending your hands of love and affection to them, to the guardianship which is of a non-Islamic nature. Don't do that. And how can you be an ambassador and extend affection to such systems when they reject the truth? They reject what you stand for. In another verse of the Holy Quran, it explicitly says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. That they only wish that you don't believe like they don't believe, and then you become like them. That's what they want. Be careful. These words such as integrating in certain places, under certain circumstances, with certain institutions, integrating with them, it's problematic. You look at UNESCO, you look at the United Nations Charter. Are these people protecting the suppressed around the world? Or are they just allowing the blood of Rohingyas, Kashmiris, and so many other places being spilled? And they're an authority for us. We want to integrate. We want to work with them. All I ask is for you to ponder a bit. Because in the Ahadith, in the traditions of Ahlul Bayt, in relation to the verse, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, and remind them of أَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, one of the applications of أَيَّامِ اللَّهِ is the coming of the 12th Imam. And there we have to reflect a bit. What are we doing today? This was Reflect, diving a little deeper.